All right, we're on. We're on Daf Lamed Tet tonight. Daf Lamed Tet. Okay, so I'll begin in the Mishnah. Okay, I'm 39a in the Mishnah. So it says Tarek Bakalti means again the Kohen's about to take the lottery with the two goats. He's standing in the Azara in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. He is near the entranceway near the Sharni Kanur. And he has two goats are in front of him, one to his right, one to his left. So Mishnah says, Tarek Bakalti means like he grabs from the lottery, or it could be that he mixed, like sometimes his trope is like scrambled eggs. It could be like he mixed the lotteries in there, and then he brought out two gorlot. It means like there's two, let's say, pieces of wood, where we saw in the Mishnah from 2 days ago that that Ben Gamla had contributed gold, it became gold, but he took out two gorlot. Echad ketuv alav l'shem. One says it's l'shem, that means that's going to be the korban. He says echad ketuv alav l'azazel. One says it's for azazel, which is the goat that's going to go off the cliff. Haskan bimino, the deputy Kohen Gadol is to his right. He's the one who will fill in if the Kohen Gadol cannot proceed. Of Rosh Beit Av was smaller. The Rosh Beit Av, again, we said that the Kohenim were divided into 24 Mishmarot. Each Mishmar was decided into six Batei Av, six familial groups. So the Rosh Beit Av, whichever day Yom Kippur comes out on, is to his left, is smaller. Im Shel Shem Ala Bimino, if the one was his La Hashem, came up in the Kohen's right hand, Haskan Omer Lo Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yaminacha. He would say, like, my Lord, you know, lift up your right hand. That was considered to be something very auspicious, that when Hashem came out into the right hand, that was considered very positive if it worked out that way. He didn't know, the Kohen Gadol couldn't know which way it would go, but that was considered very positive. And that's the way this Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying today. If the shame came on his left hand, Rosh Beit Av Omer Lo Ishi Kohen Gadol Hagbe Simol, lift up your left hand. The Tanan al Shnei Hasirim, he says, so he puts each lottery, in other words, he's got the two goats there, he places each lottery, one on each goat, and he says, V'omer, L'Hashem Chatat. So the one that's for Hashem, he says, L'Hashem Chatat. For Hashem, he says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Lo Yatzrich Lomar Chatat. Rabbi Shmuel said, he didn't have to say Chatat, Elo L'Hashem. In other words, everybody knows if you say L'Hashem, that means it's the one that's offered as a korban. The people who were there, and when he says L'Hashem Chatar or L'Hashem, he's pronouncing the Shem HaMaporash. So again, so we said the Kohen Gadol, and we'll explain later on that he pronounced the Shem HaMaporash 10 times on Yom Kippur, and one of the times is when he does the lottery, he says L'Hashem. So the people who were there, just like when we do in the Avodah in Yom Kippur, we have the Seder Avodah with three Viduyim, and we say that people would say Baruch Shem Kol Kutol Lamed, so they would say Baruch Shem Kol Kutol Lamed after that as well. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us on anything I did in the Mishnah? Everybody good? All right, so I'm going to go on. All right, let's take further in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lamali Taraf Bakalfi, why did he have to either grab or mix it up, whichever Taraf means? So he shouldn't like game the system. He shouldn't like work it out that he knows which one he's grabbing, that would automatically be that the right hand would end up with Hashem. So instead, he like grabs it quickly or he mixes them up so he doesn't know which is which. So Amarava, and Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi on the Gemara, he says, Shlo Yimashme, she should like feel them, Babiba Mishnu show, Aza Shel Shem. Like through his feelings, he's able to feel which was Lashem. So it could be if the name wasn't sized on it, then you could feel where the letters are. I don't know what else he would feel. Maybe I don't know what else he would feel. He'd let him be a man and take with his right hand. That's considered to be a very positive sign if Lashem comes out in his right hand. So back in the Gemara, on the first line, so Amarava, Kalpi Shal Eitz Haita, he says the box that contained the lottery was a wooden box. Shal Chol Haita, it was not a clay sharet. It was just shokol, the ina makzeket al shteyadim. It only had room in it to put two hands in. It wasn't like a very spacious box. So Matkiba Rabina, asks a strong question against this. Shleiman makzeket al shteyadim kikiv lechavim b'lishkol. I understand you don't want to have a lot of space in there, so he doesn't like go in there and feel and things like that, and then he's able to figure out which is Lashem. Ella shall call the kachra, but you said it's not a cliche. Why don't here it's Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year? He's using this lottery box. Why are we mekadesh it? Why don't we turn it into kli sharei? Im kain habali kli sharei shel eitz. Because then it would be kli sharei of eitz of wood. Kli sharei to eitz lo avin. We don't make kli sharei from wood. And so it was like the base of mekadesh makom hashiras. There's no anias. And the place of, you know, tremendous wealth is we don't show poverty. Benavda the kesef and avda zav. So in that case, let's make the box out of silver or gold. So the Gemara says that Torah chasal mamonon shel Yisrael. The Torah has rachmanis on Jewish money, meaning some things that you're required to do, then we do the best. If we're not required to do, it sounds like we keep it this way. So Rashi, let's look at the Rashi on this around the 10th line from the top in the Rashi. So Rashi is explaining that when you have Beis HaManuga, the house that's with Saras, so before the Kohen declares or condemns the house and says this is the Beis HaManuga, he directs that all the person's property be removed from the house. So what is the Torah concerned about these jugs that are earthenware jugs that can't be purified in a mikvah? So if the Torah is concerned with such sort of things that really are not worth very much, so we see the Torah is so concerned with miserly people. The one who's got the base of Manuga, we assume he's miserly, and the Gemara says that he's got to take the kelim out that he didn't share. So certainly Torah is concerned with the mammon of tzaddikim. All right, let me just pause for a minute. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, let me go on. Okay, now the Gemara says we're around six lines down in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Manitim Boki Haitana, our Mishnah apparently is not in accord with the following Tana. Again, in our Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol was doing the whole lottery, and the Skan had no role. He says, the Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Reb Lezer, Rabbi Yehuda says he is Masorah from the Tana Reb Lezer, Haskan B'Kohen Gadol Machlisi Nadav B'Kalfi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, both the Kohen Gadol and the Skan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, would stick their hands in the Kalfi in the box. If the Kohen Gadol they're each going to use their right hand to take one lottery out. There's only two lotteries there, or two, you know, pieces of wood, or two pieces of gold. So if the one Lashem ended up in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, so the Skan, who's also pulling the item out, he would say, you know, my Lord, the Kohen Gadol, lift up your right hand. If the Lashem ends up in the right hand of the Skan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, Rosh Beit Av Omer Lo, the head of the Beit Av, he was the one that was standing to the left of the Kohen Gadol, says to him, the Kohen Gadol, Daber Milach. In other words, now you should say your statement. In other words, either way, the Kohen Gadol is going to say La Hashem or La Hashem Chatat, but now he'll say it when the Skan has lifted up the lottery. So the Gemara has been Namele Skan. So why doesn't the Skan say Namele Milach? In other words, just like before the Skan said, you know, Hagbea, you know, Yadka. And so why not here? So in other words, the Kohen Gadol is doing this lottery with the Skan. And now the Kohen Gadol, and again, the best way would be that the Kohen Gadol would end up with his right hand. They're each going to put their right hand and pull out one lottery. And the ideal situation would be the Kohen Gadol with La Hashem. So the Kohen Gadol didn't like sort of win the lottery, so to speak. Instead, the Skan so-called won the lottery. So it feels like he feels schwach if the Skan says to him, you know, you should say your words. Like it just doesn't feel quite right. So instead, the Rosh Beit Av will say it then. All right. So again, so we saw a point of dispute between our Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol is the one who's doing the whole lottery. He pulls out one lottery with his right hand, one with his left hand, and then according to the Braisa, that the Kohen Gadol only pulls out one lottery, and the Skan pulls out the other lottery. They each use the right hand. So, B'mai Kimifki, we understand there's a difference in the procedure, but what's the point of dispute between the Tan of our Mishnah and the Tan of the Braisa? Mar Sabar Yamin Diskan Adik Usmali the Kohen Gadol. So, the Braisa holds that the right hand of the Skan, that's superior to the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. In other words, we want everything to be done with right hands. So, we'll have two right hands. We won't have a right hand and a left hand. Umar Savar, but the Tan of our Mishnah holds, Kiyadadi Ninu. It's the same thing. So that being the case, so we're going to have it all with the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Uman Haitana, the Palig Leitz Rebbe Yehuda. So who's the Tana who's Mechulik with Rebbe Yehuda, i.e., who's the Tana of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Rav Penina Skana Konim, who? That's Rav Penina Skana Konim. He says, the Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rav Penina Skana Konim Omer, Lama Skan Mimino, why does the Skan stay to the right of the Kohen Gadol? Irabo Psul, the Kohen Gadol, in other words, the Skan stays around him. So why does he stay around him? Because the Psul, like something that causes the Kohen Gadol to be unfit for a vote on Yom Kippur, should arise. So the Skan will be like the understudy, and then he'll take over his position. So the point being, in that Braisa, we don't see the Skan has any role other than to hang out and to serve as the understudy. And yet, according to the Tana of the Braisa, he had a role. He's involved with the lottery. So at that Tana that we just read, he seems like the Tana of our Mishnah. So if that's the case, so the Tana of our Mishnah is repeating the Skan Akonim. All right, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody good? All right. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, we're on Lama Ted Amad Aleph, 39a, around 10 lines from the bottom. Okay, Robert, you have a place? Okay. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanim, we learned the Braisa, Arabim Shana Shishime Shimon HaTzadik, Egoral Labimin. The 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, he lived during the time of Alexander the Great. That's around 333 BCE. And remember, the Gemara says that Shimon HaTzadik went to greet Alexander the Great. And I think the Shomronim were also going out to meet him. And then Alexander the Great said he had this dream. And in the dream, he saw somebody that looked like Shimon HaTzadik, and it worked out well for the Jews. So Shimon HaTzadik, during his time, the Goral means La Hashem. It was the one that said La Hashem, always ended up in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, which we said before was very auspicious. And that's what Rabbi Simon Wolf said. Sometimes it would work out on the right hand, sometimes it would work on the left hand. And then in addition to which, by Yalashon Shel Zorit Malbin, they would tie this crimson piece of wool to the Azazel, to the horn of the Azazel, and it would miraculously turn white. And this like fulfills the Pasuk, and Yadimu Katolat Katsemer Yu, if your sins are as red as scarlet, they become white. So during the time of Shimon HaTzadik that occurred, after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, sometimes it would turn, sometimes it wouldn't turn. He says, "Vayaner ma'aravit olek mikan ba'elach." He says, "Ner ma'aravit olek." So the ner ma'aravim is you have the menorah in the base of Mikdash. So there's a machloket what the ner ma'aravi is. So there's a machloket did the menorah was the menorah lined up on east-west axis or north-south axis? Axis. So if it's an east-west axis, so it's the second candle from the east. In other words, if the menorah is lined up like this, look at my hands. If the menorah is lined up like my hands, like this, this is the menorah. So the second branch is the Ner Maravi. Was the first branch is the easternmost one. The next one is the Ner Maravi. If it's on a north-south axis, so it's the middle candle. The middle candle means the lip or the wick of the middle candle lean more towards the Heichal. That was called Ner Ma'aravi. It's more westerly than the other ones. So Chazal teaches the Ner Ma'aravi, that kept burning. So the Kohen Gadol, with the menorah, that miraculously kept burning. After the other lights went out, the Ner Ma'aravi would keep burning. And when the Kohen Gadol would clean out, where the Kohen would clean out the candles, the Ner Ma'aravi would still be burning. And he'd take it in his hand and the wick would be burning with some oil and then put it back. So it could keep burning. That was miraculous. So the Gemara says, and that's really why we have our Ner Tamid, I think this is like for the reminds us of the Ner Ma'aravi. So back in the Gemara, so the Gemara says, by a Ner Ma'aravi Dolik, so that miraculous event occurred during the time of Shimon HaTzadik. But after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, sometimes it burned, sometimes it just went out. By a Eishel Ma'aracham Gaber, Lui Konim Srikim Lavi Eitzim L'Ma'aracha, Push Mishnek Re'eitzim. That the wood on the Mizbeach, in other words, they would put wood in the morning, and in the morning they put these two blocks of wood, so that would keep burning the whole day, and it didn't require any additional wood, except at the end of the day they had to put another 2 3 8 10, but that was the halakha, that's all they required. And he says, to do the mitzvah. After the time of Shimon HaTzadik, sometimes the wood would burn well, sometimes not. They would have to put more wood on the maracha. Below you call him the main lovey ace of the maracha. The coin would have to, they would have to put more wood on. During Tam Shemin Atzadi, there was a bracha in the Omer. The Omer is the barley flour that's offered on Pesach, and then the Shtei Lechem are these two loaves of bread that's also offered as a type of mincha together with the korban on Shavuot. And he says Lechem Apanim with the showbread. In other words, there was a bracha on them, and we'll see what bracha was. Any coin that received the kizayit of the lechem apanim or the omer or the shtei lechem, so some would eat it and they'd be, that's it, that's a good meal for the day. It's like fantastic food because it had a bracha in it. It's like mitvarek. He says, and some people would eat it and there's more, like, in other words, it's too much for me. There was a kizayit, it's not a big amount, but I don't need the whole kizayit. I feel so full from it. That was a bracha in it. After the Tam Shemin Atzadik, Nishpalcha Me'era Ba'Omer B'Shtei Lechem Lechem Panim. Me'era means like a curse was said to the Omer and the Shtei Lechem Lechem Panim. The whole coin Magio Kippul. So every coin would get like a pull the size of a bean, or on the side he says, Benin Yaakov Kippul Mitzri, the Egyptian bean. Hatznun Moshchim Yideim. So it means like the discreet ones, the firm ones would pull their hands away from it. In other words, it could be that they didn't feel like there's even, if you're not having a kizayis, they may have felt a bit some mitzvah with that. Or he says, "Bar gargaranim noklin ba'oklin," like the gluttons would grab it, need it. There was an incident with one coin. He took his chelek and his friend's chelek. So they called him, turn page, Ben Chamson ad Yomoto. Like Ben Kamsan doesn't mean the son of the Goslin. Sometimes in Hebrew, Ben means like it's a membership in a class. So Ben Kamsan, he was the thief. They called him the thief until the day of his death. Let me just do a few lines, then I'll pause, and we'll say some things, and we'll take some questions if there are any. So Amaraba Bar Rav Shila Mikra. What's the pasuk? Now we had the word chamsan with a tzadi. So chamsan with a samech, we know is like a type of thievery, but chamsan with a tzadi, where do you see the chamsan is a thief? So he says, so Mikra, what's the pasuk that supports that chamsan with a tzadi is a thief? He says, what's the pasuk from Tehillim? Elokai paltenim yad rasha, my God, save me from the hands of a wicked person. Mikach me'aveil v'chometz. Save me from like the hand of the evildoer and the chometz is the thief. He says, Rava Amar Mehacha. Rava says, from this pasuk you have proof. Says Limdu Heitev Yeshu Mishpat Yeshu Chamotz. Learn well, seek justice. Yeshu Chamotz, seek to support Chamotz. Means the victim of thievery. He says Yeshu Chamotz Ve'Al Ta'ashu Chometz. In other words, try to support the one who is the victim and don't support the, like the thief. So this Gemara, this is Rosh, I didn't look it up, but Rosh Samuel was saying that the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin, which Rashi has, he refers to it here. Let's look at the Rashi. He says, V'lo chometz, Rashi says, Lo shayach hacho elab Sanhedrin. This line really doesn't belong here, it belongs in Sanhedrin, or it doesn't have really such application here. Shelamanu mikan shenizkakon to beitchil. The Gemara learns that when two Bali didn't come before the Bezin, so we hear the plaintiff first. We hear the tainas of the plaintiff first, because the plaintiff is the one who's like the one seeking redress. And so we hear, so it's like, so it says, you know, you're, in other words, Ishru Chamotz, like the Nigzal, the one who claims that he's out money. So you have to, you know, so Ishru Chamotz, you know, try to rectify his thing first. Okay, now let me just say a few things, then we'll do it now. So if you look at the Tosfos at Amud Aleph on Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, the Tosfos there, and Rabbi Simon was referring to this Tosfos as well. So the Gemara says there were other gargaranim. In other words, he wasn't the only glutton who was grabbing food. So why did he get the wonderful kavod that he's called the chamsin, the goslin, the god, a lot of other people in the same category? So he says, Yesh lomar l'fisho patach mi chamsin achter. So Tosfos' first shot is he stole from another thief. So he's like the creme de la creme of thieves. You know, he's grabbing, when the other people just grab things that weren't theirs. And then he grabbed from somebody who else would grab. He says, Inami, I can't remember from semi there. He says the other people they grab from them, but the victim wasn't so upset about it. He says, the victim here was upset about it. Okay, let me just do a few pieces from the Rabbi 716, the Al Hadah, not the Al Hadah, yeah, the Al Hadah. Okay, now, all right, let's take a look. All right, now, so we said, there was a curse on Lechem Panim, and they only got a bean-sized portion, which wouldn't satiate their hunger, the konim. As a result of these small, unsatisfying portions, the gluttonous konim would try to grab larger portions of lechem upon him, and the snu, the modest konim, unwilling to fight, would forego their portion. The Rifa explains that the pious individuals would forego their portion only because it was smaller than a kezayit, than an olive's volume, and they would not fulfill a mitzvah by eating it. He says, however, if they would have been able to obtain a kezayit, which is the minimum required for the fulfillment of the mitzvah, to the kachim, they would not have relinquished their portion so easily. So in other words, they're only getting like the size of a bean. So they said, you know, they would bow out. The B'nai Chaya, everybody's still awake? Robert, you still awake with us? Everybody's still awake? Chaya? Okay. So the B'nai Chaya deduces proof from the words of the Ritva that if one has less than the required kezayit of matzah or maror on the first night of Pesach, it is pointless to eat it. One does not fulfill any mitzvah by eating less than a kezayit. And that's a whole shaila in halacha. In other words, if you have less than the shear, in other words, like the Gemara learns at the end of this Masechta, again, the last parak. So the Gemara has Machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is chatzi shear asr min haTorah. When the Torah says don't eat something, like on Yom Kippur, the Torah says don't eat a certain amount. So the Gemara learns the amount that if you would eat on Yom Kippur, you transgress food is koteb ragasa, like the fat date. And then, so let's say a person had less than a fat date. Does he violate Torah or he violates Yom Kippur on a Rabbanan level? Right? Louis Torah says, well, an nefesh shelo to a nefesh mayus of a nefrata. Whoever doesn't afflict himself today on this day, Yom Kippur, he'll be subject to karet. Whatever karet means, different shatim. So Chazal teaches that means if he eats the size of a koteb ragasa, a fat date. Let's say he eats half a fat date. So did he violate the Torah, or did he violate only rabbinic law? So Rabbi Yochanan holds that chasi shir is asr min Torah, half shir is asr min Torah. So the question of halacha is, what about by mitzvah? Let's say there's a mitzvah to eat a kezayis matz on Leil Pesach. Let's say I don't eat a kezayis, I eat a half kezayis. So did I do anything or nothing? Did I do something? Did it register? Or doesn't make a difference? So the B'nai Chaya wants to say from the words of the Ritva, it sounds like you don't do any mitzvah. Because over here, the snuim, they said, I'm just getting a bean. I'm leaving it. I'm not gonna fight over it. The Chidah disputes this ruling and maintains that a kezayis is the minimum required in order to fulfill the complete mitzvah. However, one fulfills a partial mitzvah even if he eats less than a kezayis. He compares eating a half kezayis of mitzvah food eating a half kezayis of forbidden food, which we just spoke about. Although eating a half kezayis of forbidden food is not subject to lashes, is nevertheless forbidden chatzi shir asr min haTorah because we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. The Ritva means to say that since a half kezayis is only a partial mitzvah, it was not significant enough to warrant strife and conflict. In other words, in Akinami, there's some mitzvah with it, but I don't get the whole mitzvah. However, where fighting is not an issue, it is better to eat a half kezayis of matzah or kachim than not to eat any of it. Now, and the words of the Tosos Yishanim here seem to corroborate this approach. Now, the Shari Tshuva considers a case in which there are two people and each owns a half kezayis of matzah. So, yeah, Reuben and Shimon are together for Pesach. Reuben has a half kezayis of matzah and Shimon has a half kezayis of matzah. Should one person surrender his piece of matzah to enable his friend to fill the mitzvah properly? So, should we get together and say, look, none of us can do the whole mitzvah. So, one of us has got to do it, so one of us will be able to do the mitzvah. So, either I'll give you my piece or you'll give me your piece. Or perhaps each person should his own matzah, even though by doing so, they each fulfill only a partial matzah mitzvah. In conclusion, he rules it's wrong for a person to graciously offer his matzah to his friend, because every person is responsible for the performance of his own mitzvah. Therefore, each person should his own half besides the matzah, even though each will fulfill only a partial mitzvah. Now, he says, alternatively, he says that he should draw lots, with the winner getting both pieces of matzah. In this manner, one person will fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety, and the other will not be guilty for going his matzah without good reason. Rather, he surrenders his matzah because he rented a lottery in an effort to acquire the rights to the entire mitzvah. Okay. It is, but in other words, it to help somebody else, but I have a chiv to do. In other words, you need to put on tefillin, I need to put on tefillin. So it's a mitzvah to try to help you do tefillin, but I still have to put on tefillin. But here, helping somebody else, helping somebody is voluntarily relinquishing my rights to the mitzvah. By helping you, I'm giving up my right to the mitzvah. That's something else. All right. Now, well, anyway, that's not the way he's looking at it. I mean, it's you are doing that, but the ikar is you're giving up the mitzvah. Okay. Any other questions, comments, post anything I said so far? Everybody good? Masake Bakuvia is it? Well, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, everybody, can everyone hear me? Let me just repeat what Sally asked. So, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a sugi about Masake Bakuvia. Masake Bakuvia is a person who gambles.
Oh, wait
a second. We're gonna have to mute people. One second. Let me go back. Okay. All right. So Saul was asking me, isn't this like basically like gambling? In other words, the Gemara learns that I'm not allowed to gamble. But there, by gambling, the Gemara learns asmach the lokanya. But let me think over. In other words, the Gemara thinks that like I don't realize that I could lose because in other words, I think I'm gonna win. Here it's even more. So you're really asking like this. If I say asmach the lokanya, how does the lottery work? That's what you're really asking. If I say Asmatlo Kanya, how does the lottery work? Yeah, so there's a machlok in the Gemara whether it works or doesn't work. I don't know. I have to look into that, Sal. Okay, if you hold Asmatlo Kanya, so how does Eitza do the lottery? How does that work? Yeah, so I don't know. I might just go with the side that Asmatlo Kanya. I don't know what to say. I have to look into it. Okay, all right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, so we're on Lamed Tet Amud Beis 39D. Okay, now, all right, we're five lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan, Otashana Shemait by Shimon HaTzadik, the year that Shimon HaTzadik died, and like I said he lived in around 333 BC. The year that he died, Amar Lahem B'Shana Zu who made said this year he's talking about himself in the third person, like he said I'm going to die this year. So he says. They said, how do you know that? So Amar Lahem, Echol Yom Kippurim, Hayam Mizdamin Lizakein Echad Levush Lebanim Vatuf Lebanim. He says, every day on Yom Kippur, there would be this man that was dressed in white clothes and wrapped in white clothes that would walk in with me into the Kodesh Kedashim. In other words, this was his vision. In other words, in the vision, this is his vision of the Ribono Shel Olam. He says, Vayom Mizdamin Lizakein Echad, today's Yom Kippur. And there was an old man that came with me, but he's lavush shkor. He was just in black clothes, but tuf shkor and wrapped in black clothes. Nichtas to me, he went with me. Lo yatzai me, he didn't leave with me. So I figured that portends bad for me. Achar regel after Sukkot, this was on Yom Kippur. After Sukkot, chala shiva yimim, he was sick for 7 days. Umeid, then he died. And then after his death. The Konim didn't want to use the Shema Hashem anymore, the Shema Meforash, when they would give the bracha. They didn't want to use it anymore. In other words, it sounds like, you know, circumstances were heading downhill. All right. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Arba'im Shana Kodam Churban Abayit, that 40 years before the Churban Abayit. Now, 40 years before the Churban Abayit, so the Gemara learns with the different Simanim that the base of Mikdash is going to be destroyed 40 years before the Churban Abayit. The Gemara says that 40 years before the Churban Abayit, the Sanhedrin left Lishkat HaGazit. They left their chamber in the base of Mikdash. And the Gemara also says that Rabbi Tzadok and the Gemara Masechet Gittin, he fasted 40 years that the base of Mikdash shouldn't be destroyed. I assume he was fasting and eating at night, is what I would assume. But he and so here the Gemara says that 40 years before the Korban Abayit, Like the goral on Yom Kippur never ended up in the right hand. In other words, the one that said La Hashem never ended up in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol. And the crimson thread never turned white. He says, and the Ner Maravi would always go out. It never kept burning. And the doors of the Beis HaMikdash would open on their own, and they took that as a bad semen, like to welcome the enemy in, type of thing. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he excoriated like the doors, so to speak. Amarlo, heichal, heichal, lima tamavid atzmacha. He says, like, heichal, heichal, like sanctuary, why are you scaring yourself? And this Rabbi Simon Wolf thought it might be possibly like scaring us. Like sometimes you refer to it like something else. So like, why are you scaring us? But he says, Yodani bechash sofka tilecharev. I know that you are going to be destroyed. He says, v'kvarn nabei alecha Zechariah ben Ido. And Zechariah, the Navi, already gave prophecy. Now, Zechariah's father's name was Berechia. If you look on the side, he says, Zechariah ben Berechia ben Ido. But he was referring to him by his grandfather's name, Zechariah ben Ido. And Zechariah says, P'tach Lebanon Zlatecha. Lebanon, but Lebanon, the Gemara is going to explain, is like a term for the Beis HaMikdash. P'tach Lebanon Zlatecha. Lebanon, open your doors. And let fire consume your cedars. Say again, what? Or say halivanon. Or just wait a minute. I'll come back. I'll explain in a minute. So just a minute. So he says that open your doors and let the fire consume your cedars. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tabloi, Maman Nikrash Shmuel Lebanon. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called Lebanon?" It launders the Aveira of Israel. It was the Aveira get cleansed out. So Oded was saying to me, it's like Arzei Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon, and there were cedars in the first place of Mikdash from Hiram Yitzor that came from Lebanon, but I don't know how this would work out here necessarily. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Amrav Zutri Bartuvia, Lamanik Roshimo Ya'ar. Now, the Beis HaMikdash is also called Ya'ar, forest. It says, why is it called a forest? It says, V'chiv Beit Ya'ar HaLebanon, the house of the forest HaLebanon, Lebanon. So the Pshuto Shemikra, the plain meaning of this phrase, is talking about a summer home that Shlomo HaMelech had, but the Gemara here understands it as a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. He says, L'mar lecha, ma Ya'ar malavle, it's just like the forest blossoms. He says, so too the Beis HaMikdash also blossoms. How so? The Beis HaMikdash is a building. How does it blossom? The Amar of Hoshea, Hoshea said that when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he planted in it all these beautiful golden trees. He says, golden fruit trees made out of gold. He says, but miraculously they produce fruit in the right time. And when the wind would blow through them, the peyrot would fall on the ground. This is let it rustle like kalavanon piryo, like lebanon, its fruit, like rustling through. And that was the parnasa for the Kohanim. The yafshu. He says, when the goyim entered the Beis HaMikdash, they dried up. Shnemar uferach lebanon umlal. He says, like the blossom of Lebanon. In other words, the way he's darshing the pasuk is lebanon is the Beis HaMikdash. Uferach, like the blossoming of the Beis HaMikdash, is desolate. Umlal. And presumably this means after the Churban Beis HaRishon, became Hashem, he says, will again restore it to us in the future. Shinemar, he puts a pasuk in Yeshaya, Haroch Tibrach, the Tagel Af Gilat, Branein, Tavodal Banan, Hitanlo. So it's the Pshuto Shemaker is saying, like things are bad now, but in the future there'll be a time of Geula when things will blossom in Eretz Yisrael. So Haroch Tibrach, the Tagel of Lat Baranein, but the key is Kibod Lebanon Nitanla. The glory of Lebanon is given to her. It means the way the Gemara is darshing it out It means like those things that would blossom in Lebanon and the Beis HaMikdash will be back there in the future. All right, let me just pause for a minute or two or three, and let's hear if there are any thoughts, questions, comments, or thoughts that anybody wants to say. Anybody? Anybody out in cyberspace that wants to ask anything? All right. All right. Okay, let me go on. Okay, I'm moving on then, all right? All right, I think we can go a little slower now. All right, let's take a look. Okay, so we're on line four. So he put these two lotteries on the two goats. Again, he's the Kohen Gadol, it's Yom Kippur. He's got the goats, one goat to his right, one goat to his left. And according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, he pulls one lottery out with his right hand and one lottery with left hand. So right hand goes to right goat, left hand goes to left goat. So Tanna Rabbanan, Esther Pami Maskir Kohen Gadol at Hashem, Bo Bayom. The Brisa says that 10 times Kohen Gadol would mention the Shem HaMeforash, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but pronounced it in the proper fashion, which we don't know how to pronounce. He would pronounce it on the Beis HaMikdash. He says, Shoshaba Bidui Rishon, three times in the first Vidui. He says, you know, Ana Hashem, you know, he says, Ushosha Bidui Shani, then three times the second Bidui is one Bidui on the par, which we did already, and he's got a second Bidui on the par, which we didn't come to yet. And then he says, Ushosha Besir, and then Besir HaMishtaleah. And the third time he did a Bidui on the Seir HaMishtaleah. The Chad Begorelot, and one of the Gorelot, he says, La Hashem. So that's the 10th time. So I mentioned earlier that the tour brings down that on Yom Kippur, we say Vidui 10 times. So we say Vidui 10 times to correspond to 10 times the Kohen would mention the Shem HaMeforash on Yom Kippur. Ukamar Amar Hashem, when he would say the Shem Hashem, one second, let me just take a look, one second. Yeah, so. If you look in Rashi, it's around the sixth narrow line from the top, higher up. In other words, it was an incident like this. I think Michael Franken mentioned this the other day, that his voice was heard in Yericho. So it doesn't mean, though, remember, I think it came up that the people would be Korea, but only the people I said that were near him would hear them say the Shem Hashem. So it doesn't mean that it always would go to Yericho. Sometimes on occasion it did, or when they were worthy, it went to Yericho, but not always did it go to Yericho. And we saw already that from the time of Shimon HaTzadik, things went downhill in the Beis HaMikdash. So I'm a Rabbi Bart. Now this is part of the Brisa. Now the Brisa stops for a minute, and we have a statement from Rabbi Bar Rachana, who's an Amora. I'm a Rabbi Rachana, you find the Yericho as Rab Parsa'ot. So Rabbi Rachana says the distance from Yerushalayim to Yericho is 10 parsa. So each parsa is 4 mil. Each mil is 2,000 amot. So 2,000 amot to one parsa is 8,000 amot. To 10 parsa is 80,000 amot. So I don't know what the distance is. Anyway, so that's what it says. Now, back to the Braisa. It's here, Daltora Hechal, Nishma, Bishmona, Tchumei Shabbat. The sound, the creaking of the hinges of the doors of the Hechal could be heard at a distance of 8 Tchumei Shabbos. Tchumei Shabbos is 2,000 amot. That's the distance you're allowed to walk on Shabbat, you know, outside your city or wherever you're residing. So that means 16,000 amot. Izim should be Yericho. The Izim, the goats in Yericho, ayumit atshot mireach haketoret. They would sneeze from the fragrance of the ketoret, and that's quite a distance from Yericho. He says, Nashim should be Yericho, in a srichot lehipasei mireach haketoret, that the women in Yericho didn't have to put on any perfume because they had this aroma of the ketoret. Kala should be Yerushalayim, a bride in Yerushalayim, in a srichot kashet mireach haketoret. She didn't have to adorn herself with like perfume. That means a kala bride, she needs more perfume than the average woman. Like she would really be perfumed up, but she didn't have to do it if she was in Yerushalayim. Okay, now, Amar, you know, on the side, he corrects this. Let me see where it is. One second. Yeah. So Amar Blazer ben Bigloy. So this is a Mishnah Masechet Tamid, or it's quoted in the Mishnah Masechet Tamid. So Amar Blazer ben Bigloy, Izim Ayula Abba Bahare Bichvar, is what it was, says over there. And my father had goats in Hare Bichvar. So this Rabbi Simon Wolf said he thought that this was in the Golan, but he says they would sneeze from the fragrance of the Torah. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin, Amar Rabbi Shimon Korcha, Sachli Zakein Echad, that there's an old man that once said to me, Pamachat Halachti to Shiloh. Once I went to Shiloh. So Shiloh is where the Mishkan was before the first base of Mikdash. And the Mishkan was in Shiloh for 369 years. So now he's living after the Korban Bayit Sheni. So he's describing something that he says he went to Yericho, to Shiloh, the Hirachi Rech Torah, Bein Kot Leha. I was able to sense the aroma of the Torah from its walls. So this Rabbi Simon Wolf said it was the walls of the Mishkan. I don't know the walls of the Mishkan, the walls of the city, but he's referring to events that took place centuries earlier. He was able to, you know, sniff it, I think the article said 1,000 years earlier. So Amar Abiyah, okay, so Ad Khan, let me pause. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said so far? Everybody good? All right, happy group tonight. All right, let me see if I have anything here. Second before I wrap. All right. All right. We're going. All right. Let's take a look at the next piece of Gemara. All right. So the Gemara says, everybody with me, around 10 lines from the bottom on Lamed 10 of A, 39B. I'm Rabbi Yanai, Aliyat Goral Mitoch Kalpi Ma'akevet. So Rabbi Yanai says that pulling up this lottery is essential for the Avodah Yom Kippur. In other words, it's essential for the kashrut of the whole Avodah that lottery be taken out of the box. Hanacha in the Ma'akevet. But the fact that he has to put the lottery on the goat, that's not essential. He should do it, but that's not essential. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afaliyah in the Ma'akevet. Yochanan says, no, even pulling the lottery out, it's not essential. The Kohen can just say, this one's Lashem, this is La'azazel. It's not the way he should do it, but if he does it this way, the Avodah is still good. That's the Machloket. Okay, so we had a Machloket on Amarayim between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. So they both agree that the Hanacha is not Ma'akev, but there's a Machloket where the Aliyat Goral is Ma'akev or not. According to Rabbi Yanai, it is Ma'akev, and that's where we hold the Halacha. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not Ma'akev. So the Gemara says, Alibis Rabbi Yehuda Damar. Now the Gemara is going to refer now to Machloket Tanayim. Let me say it outside, then we'll do it inside. This Machloket Tanayim comes up later on in our Gemara. It says, the Avodah Yom Kippur by Talahem Lechukat Olam. It'll be like a perpetual cloak. So this Machloket Tanayim, how to understand this. So they both understand that it's referring to the Avodah with the big day Lavan. In other words, the Avodas Panim in the base Mikdash. One Tana understands that the essential service is what's done inside the Kodesh Kedashim. That goes to the essence of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And the other one understands, no, it's not everything that relates to the Avodas Panim, even if it's in the Heichal, even if it's outside the Heichal. In other words, here, he's doing the lottery with the goats. The goats relate to the Avodas Panim. One goat, his blood is going to be sprinkled in the Heichal. Right, and the blood is also going to be sprinkled with the Kodesh Kedashim. That's the one Tana holds that also is the essence. It's sine qua non to the Avodah Yom Kippur. And one says no, it's only those things that are described as taking place in the Kodesh Kedashim. So we'll see in a minute. We're talking about the lottery. So we'll see how this plays out. Let's take a look back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Alivis Rabbi Yehuda Damar, Dvarim Nasim Bebig Lavani Bachutz Lo Ma'akva." So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, things that the Kohen Gadol is in the Big Day Lavan, but he does it Bachutz. It's outside the Kodesh Kedashim. That's not Ma'akev. Kuli Amalo Pligi Lo Ma'akva. So everybody would agree within that sheet. In other words, these two Amorayim have the Machloket, but they have to fit their Machloket within the sheet of the Tanayim. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that's not Ma'akev. Everybody would hold it's not Ma'akev the lottery. He pleads with Reb Nechemiah. The machloket is within Reb Nechemiah. He says, in other words, Reb Nechemiah holds everything is ma'akev with the big day Laban. So Mandamar ma'akva Reb Nechemiah. So one who says yeah, it's ma'akev. That's Reb Yanai. I says I'm on all fours with Reb Nechemiah. Mandamar lo ma'akva. The one who says Reb Yochanan is ma'akev. He says ani mili avoda. He says, yeah, when Reb Nechemia, when Reb Nechemia said things are ma'akev, he meant the avoda is ma'akev. Avoda would be things that relate to like the shechita, the kabbalah sadam, the lachas sadam, that's the avoda. Hagrala lav avoda. So hagrala, the lottery, he doesn't call that avoda. So even he would say that it's not essential. That's the way he interprets it. Again, let me just repeat. Okay, so we have machloka where the lottery is or is not essential to the avoda yom kippur. There's machloka amarayim. So the Gemara says, but there's a machloka tanaim about what is essential with the big day lavan. And according to one Tana, nothing's essential, and anything that's done in the azara is not essential. So the Gemara says, according to that Tana, in Achinami, everybody agrees not essential. But the machloka is according to the Tana, it says no, everything is essential. So the one who says is ma'akev, so I understand. That's Rabbi Yonai. So how will Rabbi Yochanan explain his shita? Rabbi Yochanan says it's not essential. But there's a Tana who holds it is essential. Rabbi Yochanan's not going to call it with a Tana. So Rabbi Yochanan will say the Tana is referring to things that are called avoda. Avoda is no longer like shita, Kabbalah Sadam, Olacha Sadam, receiving the blood in the Keli. This is the lottery. This is not avoda. That's one way to explain it. So Rabbi Yochanan is qualifying like the stringent view. Others say, others say no. Within Reb Nechemya, you said that all the avodas ma'akev in Achinami. Everybody agrees. In other words, Reb Yochanan and Reb Yana would both agree within his shita, everything is ma'akev. He pleads leaves Reb Yehuda. But the machlok that they have is within the sheets of the Tana of Reb Yehuda. The one who says not ma'akev, that's what Reb Yehuda says, not ma'akev. Because this relates to things outside the Kodesh Kedashim. Umandamar Ma'akva, the one that says Ma'akev is Rabbi Yanai would say, notwithstanding the holding of Rabbi Yehuda, Shani Hacha, the Tana Beikra, Asher Allah, Asher Allah, Tzrei Zimne. Here it's different because the Pasuk repeats Asher Allah twice. Pasuk repeats it twice, and the rule by Kachim is Shana Allah B'Tuv La'Kev. The Gemara learns many times in Zvachim, that when it comes to Kanshim, when the Torah repeats something twice, that means it's Li'ikuva. So here it says Asher Allah, that the goat that the lottery went on to. So he says Li'ikuva. Okay, so we had the machloka between Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan, where the lottery is or is not Li'ikuva. And then we had a machloka Tanayim that related about the Avoda, whether it's Li'ikuva or not. So it's either that the lenient position is qualifying the more stringent opinion there, or the stringent opinion here is qualifying the more lenient opinion there. So the first way was they were qualifying the stringent opinion. Stringent opinion holds it is Likuva, but one side holds it's not a vote, it's only a vote. It's never Bioko is not a vote. That's one way to qualify it. Or the other side is that they're qualifying like the lenient opinion. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds nothing's ma'akev, but here it repeats Asher Allah twice, so it could be ma'akev. Let me just do a few more lines then.
Allah is not Allah.
Asher Allah, Allah.
It says,
right.
Right.
Right. No. It says it's another pasuk. It says Asher Allah Agarala Hashem. In other words, so the Sa'ir Asher Allah Allah Magaral Hashem, Basir Asher Allah Allah Magaral Azazel. Okay. Wait. No. In Achinami, he should do the lottery. Let's say Lu Yatsur, it occurred, he didn't do the lottery. He forgot himself. He said, you know what? This is Allah Hashem, Azazel. He says, whatever. Then we're going on. Well, it could be unintentional, whether it's intentional or unintentional. But if it did occur, would this be essential or not? Okay, let's just wrap up the daf today, and let's take a look. Okay, we're two lines from the bottom, and I'm on Lamed Tenor based. So in this, we ask a question from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Mitzvah Lahagriel is a mitzvah to do the lottery. Vim lo igriel kasher, but if he didn't do it, it's kasher. So he says, "Bishleim alahaklish to Amri to leave with Rabbi Yehuda kuliyam alo pligi gloma akva." Now again, this is the statement from Tanaim. So according to the one version that we said within the sheets of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that everybody would agree that it's not ma'akev. Rabbi Yehuda was the more lenient opinion. So within that sheet of the Tana Rabbi Huda, that is that everybody agrees, Nama Akev, Samani Rabbi Huda. So we could say this Brisa follows Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda holds the lottery is Nama Akev, showing. Ella on the top on Nemamun Aleph, Ella Haklish Namit Ligi, but according to the other law shown, within the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, there's a machloket. So b'shlemi l'man d'mar lo ma'akva. So according to the opinion that says that it's not ma'akev is fine. Hamani Rabbi Yehuda hi el l'man d'mar ma'akva. In other words, when there was one opinion, we said that even within Rabbi Yehuda, remember Rabbi Yochanan said repeats Asher a lot twice. So even Rabbi Yehuda will hold this ma'akev. So how am I going to explain this braisa? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan's is it Rabbi Yanai rather? The one who says ma'akev is Rabbi Yanai, right? Rabbi Yanai says is ma'akev, right? So Rabbi Yanai holds ma'akev. So within the sheet of the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that things aren't ma'akev, so we said Rabbi Yanai will say that it's a shirla twice. So how is he going to explain the brisa? He says el l'madamar ma'akva hamani. Where does this go? So to me, mitzvah lahaniyah. So he'll interpret like this: when it says in the brisa mitzvah lahagril and lo gril kasher, it doesn't mean to do the lottery. It means to place the lottery on the animals. That's what we'll say. In other words, in Achinami, the lottery, that's essential. But in terms of placing the lottery on the animals, that's what the Tana of the Bryce is saying, if that's not essential. Okay, now, any questions in the cyber world? In other words, where's Yosef? Yosef, you okay tonight?
Yeah, can you explain Ikad Amri? I missed the Ikad Amri.
Okay. So let me just go over this again for Yosef, then I have to wrap it up. So, again, so we had a machloket between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan.
Yes.
Is the lottery essential or not?
Rabbi Yanai, yes. Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan,
okay.
No.
Okay. So in the first version, then we mentioned there's another machloket tonight between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia. One holds it's ma'akev, one holds not.
Right.
So the Gemara said in the first version, the one who holds his ma'akev, which is Rav Yana, like Rav Nechemia, the one who holds not ma'akev, he's going to say, that's just talking about an avoda. But hagrala is not considered to be an avoda. Okay. Now, the Ikad Amri says, alibas Rav Nechemia da'amar ma'akva, within Rav Nechemia, who holds that it's essential, kli amalo pligi da'akva. So everybody agrees it's ma'akev. In other words, where do Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan fit in with this machloket? So the second version is, with Rabbi Nechemia says ma'akev, they both agree, you're right. According to him, it would be essential. But the machloket they have is when the teeth of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says things are not essential. So one who says na ma'akev, which is Rabbi Yochanan, says, yeah, that's right. That's right, Rabbi Yehuda. But the one who says ma'akev, Rabbi Yanai, he's going to say within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, even then it's ma'akev, because the pasuk repeats the word Asher Allah, that the lottery went on it. It repeats it twice. So I was saying that the rule by Kachim is Shana Laktuv La'akev, that when the pasuk repeats something twice and it's an Indian Kachim, that's Li'ikuva. So that's the way that Rabbi Yanai will interpret it. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you. Confusing, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I think unless there's any questions, comments, and thoughts, I'm going to call it a day. Okay, now let me just end the recording. One second.